Hello everyone and welcome to our preview of the Adelaide Test match, the second Borda-Gavaskar Trophy match coming up this week. And it's been a very relaxing few days for me with no Borda-Gavaskar Trophy action. But the stress will begin later. Nash, India fan, the smile still on your face. How are you feeling ahead of that test match firstly before we go right into it?
Yeah, look, I'm confident, especially after the practice game, the Prime Minister's 11 versus India that happened yesterday, the one day game. Yeah, pretty confident, especially because I want to give credit where it's due to Rohit Sharma and the management. It is looking highly likely that KL Rahul and Jaiswal will maintain that opening partnership, since they opened in that practice game as well, and then Rohit Sharma I think came at number four,
He
I
came at
think.
four. He
Yeah,
came at
number four.
four after, yeah.
So it's looking highly likely that Gill will be back as well at number three, because he played a pretty okay innings as well. And then Virat Kohli obviously at four, and then Rohit Sharma will be at five or six. There have been talks about if Rohit Sharma goes back at five, then what happens with Rishabh Pant, what else he has to do to maintain his spot at number five. But I think with Rishabh Pant's spot, he's going to play in the same manner no matter where he bats. It's not like, batting at number six or seven is going to change his approach in any way. So I don't think necessarily that's going to affect his batting a lot. The only thing I can think of is if there is a collapse, the India are none for four, and then Rishabh Pant comes and plays a shot and gets out, then that's basically none for five. So that's the only thing
That
that I
sounds
can
good.
think of.
That sounds good.
But overall, I think from the practice game, from the Prime Minister's 11 game, I have drawn a lot of confidence in the batting lineup. And it's looking likely now that, as I said, the top six are at least fixed for India, are pretty much sealed. It'll be interesting to see if Jadeja gets a go, because he bowled a lot in the game. He batted higher in the game as well. So it's looking likely that Jadeja and Sundar get a go ahead of Ashwin as well. So both of whom can bat really well. Jadeja can do the holding job as well, and Sundar can do the holding job, and obviously Jadeja brings a lot of fielding prowess as well. So it'll be interesting to see who sits out. That's my main concern. It's like I said last time, it is a headache, but it's not a good headache, as I like to call it, because you get a selection wrong and Australia will choke you immediately, and it can go horribly wrong for India.
I agree with you. If I was an Indian selector, I would keep the opening partnership of Rahul and Jaiswal. Worked so well in Perth, and they complement each other very, very well. And that's a concern for Australia. We need those early wickets. I'm not as confident as you, obviously, because all the talk around the team and what happened in the first test, and we've got the injury to Hazelwood now. We've got the injury problems for Mitch Marsh. Talk about that in a sec, but. I was thinking over the weekend that if Australia do bat first, that might be good for us. I don't want us to start our innings with the new ball in fading light and then under lights. That's what scares me. If we, facing Bumrah again with a brand new ball, and then it's, that twilight period and then into the night, that's going to be very, very difficult. If we can bat first, get through that new ball period. Easier said than done, obviously, against Bumrah, one of the very best to ever tour this country. You fight through and get through that period, and then batting gets easier in that second session, and you can get a score on the board and get into the series. But if you bowl first, then I think you've got to dismiss India at a very set time. You don't want to dismiss them. If you don't dismiss them early, you don't want to dismiss them at all on day one. That's the tricky part.
So from an Australian point of view, except the Hazelwood and Boland swap, do you see any changes?
If Mitch Marsh is not fit to bowl, I wouldn't play him personally. And that might be controversial to some people because he's the only guy to average 40 plus with the bat in the last 12 months in our top six. In our team, we've really
And
struggled with the bat.
he looked pretty well in the second innings as well.
I thought he played well in the second innings, but the issue is now, what's the knock-on effect of him not bowling? That leaves us without a fifth bowling option. And does he have enough runs to cover that? So if we need a fifth bowler, it's going to go to Marnus, and we've got to hope he doesn't bowl trash. But the likelihood is he'll try to bounce people out again. That's going to
The
give us,
thing
that's going
is,
to put us in a difficult situation, man. Like, that's the thing you have to consider as well.
look, I think one thing I want to speak on the Marnus debacle. It's obviously not him not it's not him alone taking that decision to bowl bounces. It was a
Not
team
him alone.
decision.
No, no.
And I think he's got the shorter end of the stick there, because everyone's like, oh, why is Marnus, what does he think he is? Who does he think he is? He's not, Pat Cummins, or he's not Bumrah to keep bowling bounces. But I think it was a team decision, even though he and he has been
No
talking
question
about
about
it.
that,
He's been
Nash.
hyping it up all summer, and that's what
Piping
sort
it
of
up.
that's the cascading
Everything you hear about
effect.
Marnus, everything you hear about Marnus is he does not shut up. So if he's hyping up his bounces in the press, he's going to be talking about it day in, day out in the Australian camp. And they're probably just sick of him and say, all right, mate, just go for it. But I agree with you. The management have got to be stronger and say no.
Yes. And the thing is, given, like, look, I do rate Marnus as a bowler. I do rate him as a potential sixth bowling option. Can he be a fifth bowling option to sort of be that
No.
kind of an all-rounder role? I don't think so. But he does bowl. He can carry the team for 4 or 5 overs.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I've been saying. He can contribute 4 or 5 overs in a day and try hit the top of the stumps and just keep it tight. That's not a problem if you want to contribute, but it's almost, like it's just his mind is infatuated with bowling and bowling bounces. I think he's got to get back to basics and what's worked for him at the early part of his career, and that's the batting.
So where do Australia go if Mitch Marsh is not playing?
Bo Webster. That's what
Okay.
I would do. Straight swap. Bo Webster's been brought into the squad,
So you would add
averaging
another
over 50.
debutant. You would add another
I
debutant
would.
in a must-win game.
I would. I would, yes. It's a big decision, but you need that bowling option, and he's averaging over 50 in the Shield cricket for the last 3, 4 years with a bat. So
Look, I would, and this might sort of cause a few issues, but I would like to challenge you there,
sure.
because Nathan McSweeney, best example, who debuts in Australia, in the first test, and he's been great in Sheffield Shield in the last couple of
Yes.
years, this summer as well. He deserved his spot, although I would argue not opening, but he deserved his
Sure.
Australian cap. Similar with. But again, if you put a youngster like a 24, 25-year-old, never played Test cricket, in the heat of things, in the deep end against Bumrah in such a massive sort of moment, such a massive moment, are you setting them up for failure more often than not? And that's the same question I'll ask of Webster as well. He's a great cricketer. He's performed really well. In domestic cricket, and he has a good head on his shoulders as well. So, but is it setting him up for failure? Ping ball, must win game, massive pressure on Australia. Have that fifth bowling and potentially replacing Mitch Marsh against Bumrah and Siraj and the likes. Is that too much pressure?
Well, what's the alternative then? The alternative is
I
Josh
mean,
Inglis.
you can still keep Marsh in.
Okay, keep Marsh in.
I mean,
You could, but then, as I said,
you
there's
are
a
the
risk.
Australian hat in this
There,
podcast, so
yes, there's a risk with both. There's a risk with any option.
yes.
My point is that we need the fifth bowler, in my view. So, if we don't have that fifth bowling option, does Marsh have the runs to cover that? Hopefully. Hopefully. But Webster's been putting the numbers on the board, and he's not going to be thrown into a situation where he's going to bat out of position. He's going to bat in his position, and he can offer some good overs with the ball, and he's been in great touch. So, yes, it's very, very challenging. But India have fielded debutants as well in this series. India
Yes, they
have fielded
have.
debutants and new players as well.
Yes, they
It's,
have.
you're going to have to. That's the thing with Australia. We go back to the last few years when we had opportunities to blood new players in. We didn't. Particularly we spoke about David Warner going on, I think, 2, 3 years too long in test level. Then maybe, when Mitch Marsh had injuries, We could have fielded, someone like an Aaron Hardy. I remember that New Year's Test against South Africa in 2022. We had the opportunity to field in new players in there to give them a taste. But here we are now. We've got to give these guys a taste.
But
Go for it. This is your opportunity, and you might be called
the
upon.
thing, look, the thing with India's, especially in this series, thing with India fielding debutants and inexperienced players, the cricket as a sport is so, like, cricketers as sportspersons are so reliant on their environment, to draw confidence. And you got two situations here. You got Nitish Kumar Reddy, Harshit Rana bowling with someone like a Bumrah from the other end, and Nitish Kumar
True,
Reddy
true,
batting with someone like Virat Kohli. Whereas you
true.
got, let's say, Nathan McSweeney and potentially Bo Webster batting with
I agree with
Manus
you.
and Usman, who are batting for their own careers as well. So,
You're
you
100%
got
right. That's
that,
a great point.
dynamic
Fair play. A
where
lot
do
of
you
our
go?
players are out of touch. They're not coming into an informed batting lineup. You are right. You are 100% right. So, well, then, you know what I say? If you're going to play Mitch Marsh as a specialist batsman and not going to bowl, Pat Cummins has got to step up big time as a bowler. I thought he was well under par in Perth, and that didn't necessarily surprise me in the sense because he was undercooked. He did not play a red ball game in the lead up to the series, and I thought that was a blunder. He hadn't played a test match since March. You just feel he's down on pace, down on rhythm. He's got to deliver Pat Cummins and lead the way. Mitch Stark, and it's likely to be Scott Boland. They've got to be on their game along with Nathan Lyon to do the bulk of the work with the ball against an Indian lineup that has got our measure over the last two tours here in Australia. They've got to step up
I mean, from an
big
Indian
time.
point of view, you have to keep doing similar things. What you have been doing? The biggest, I was looking at this after the last test match. The biggest positive for India, which I feel is really key for the remaining four tests, has been the Indian batter's ability to counter someone like a Mitchell Stark. Indian lineup has been famous for not having the ability to play left arm fast bowlers traditionally, but in the last all twos, or just in general, Mitchell Stark against India in tests averages 35 40 plus in all twos,
It's not good.
not just in Australia, in India, all over. And that has been the really, really key opportunity for the Indian batters to sort of keep Mitchell Stark at bay and then sort of cash in when he bowls bad and cash in on his bad deliveries. And that's been a really great that's been great to watch. And so has been Nathan Lyon's ineffectiveness in the last couple of tours as well.
I thought Nathan Lyon bowled really nicely in the second innings at Perth. Was unlucky not to get more. I thought the ball he bowled to Kohli that nearly got him through the gate just went over the stumps and went for four. That was gorgeous bowling. I thought he bowled quite nicely in the second innings, but just didn't have the luck. But if Mitch Stark has a bad game with the pink ball where he's usually very strong, we've got another headache on our hand. And I don't expect Hazelwood to be fit for the third test because of that side strain. That's a very tricky injury. That side strain has ruled Hazelwood out of a full summer before. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's out right up until the end of this series. So,
But look, I
and
think
then who's next in line? Because Dry Richardson is injured now and got a
I
couple
won't
of guys coming through. But Mitch
the
Stark,
thing
there's a lot of pressure on him as well, in my opinion. When you look at the pressure on the batting side, we need Stark to step up too because his record in the Border Gavaskar Trophy has not been great.
The thing is with Hazelwood, he's a great bowler. I understand you as an Australian fan why you would be sort of disappointed and sort of even frustrated with his injury, but it's almost a like for like replacement with Scott Boland. Scott Boland, if let's say, if, who's to say if Scott Boland has would have played more tests, he would have been even a greater bowler than Josh Hazelwood. So,
That's not the problem for me in the sense that Boland comes in. That's fine. I'm happy with that. We don't lose too much, I think, in terms of that sort of similar aspect. Maybe Hazelwood's more relentless and can go longer potentially. But the thing is what the other guys are doing. Cummins was underdone. Stark has been under par in the Border Gavaskar Trophy. They've got to step up as well. That's my point. If Stark doesn't have a good game, with the pink ball, that's a massive red flag for me. And if we go 2-0 down in the series, well, it's lights out. Forget it. So we've got to go all in this game and produce a performance for the ages here. We've got to be on it from ball one, man. This is a huge game for Australia, for a lot of these guys in their careers as well, I might add. You know, this is a lot of question marks on different players in terms of their positions in the team.
It's good to know that India are in a position to end some careers here. That'll be
Yeah.
fun. That'll be fun.
Yes. That was us
With
10 years
the
ago with MS Dhoni, et cetera. So.
and potential and England as well. But with the World Test Championship, now we've spoken about India versus Australia, India winning the first test, New Zealand losing the first test has opened up a different avenue for all the teams. So there's four teams involved, obviously. There's Australia still in contention, India, Sri Lanka, and South Africa. So South Africa have
New Zealand was still in contention as well, but they've hurt themselves a lot.
So I looked at it this morning, and I don't think New Zealand are in contention anymore after the loss, because now they can't cross that sort of that 60%
60%.
points,
Yep.
which will be really interesting to see how the other teams approach it, because Sri Lanka are still there and thereabouts, even they lost the first test convincingly. And I think the second test will go the same way as well. So, South Africa only need to win, I think, one more or two more, I think, out of the three left. And the second last
Yeah,
two tests
possibly.
are with Pakistan. India need to now, with New Zealand losing, India now only need to win two out of the remaining four. And then Australia need to win four out of the remaining six. Remembering two of them are in Sri Lanka. So
Two of them in Sri Lanka. So we've got a tough, tough, tough run
it's
to that
looking like
final.
exciting times ahead for Test cricket for the next couple of months.
Well,
I'm just
interestingly enough, I had a look yesterday. 12 of the last 23 tests since start of August have been won by the away team. So the away
yes.
teams are reigning supreme at the moment, which gives some hope for Sri Lanka. But they were so bad in that first test. Their batting—I can't remember seeing a batting performance so meek and so poor. And we had one fan in Sri Lanka hoping that to get past 36, as I said. But we won't mention names. We won't mention names. But my pick was South Africa to make the final. A little while back, I was having a look into the scenarios earlier in the year, and I looked at their run home in terms of the games they had. Some very, very favourable games. That they are playing good cricket, don't get me wrong, but they've got some good games in there with Pakistan, Sri Lanka at home. They had Bangladesh away, who themselves were quite poor. West Indies away. So they've had some favourable games. You still have to play well to win them, but they might pick to make one of the spots. I think they'll get in. And one of India and Australia, I think, will do it. So on to New Zealand, England, before we'll wrap it up. We'll touch on the other test cricket around the world. New Zealand and England, I thought that was more New Zealand losing than England winning that, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, that's not me taking credit away from England, even though I like to as an Aussie fan, but for me, you got to call a spade a spade. So it started on the first day. Shoaib Bashir bowled relatively well, but it was no way a 4-wicket performance.
No.
They gave him four
No.
wickets.
I mean,
Full toss, short ball outside off stump, cut straight to point.
half frackers
Another one
and
slogged and caught in the deep. That was bad. And then you go to the eight drop catches. Harry Brook four or five times. He was on 18.
And you're right, it was New Zealand losing rather than England winning, and
100%.
it might sound like, we are hating on England, which we are. I mean, we are generational haters for England, but anyone in their right mind would go, if a team drops eight catches, I think they are bound to lose the game.
Yep, and that's on you. It's not necessarily England. It's more New Zealand. And then some of the dismissal in the Test match from New Zealand from a batting point of view, very, very soft. I thought Ravindra twice, quite poor. Conway, quite poor. And there were others there as well, giving their wickets away against the run of play to deliveries that weren't particularly fantastic. Now, I'm one to give England credit when the credit is due. I thought, when they won in Pakistan after conceding 500 by an innings, that was a quality win. When they won 3-0 in Pakistan a few years ago on flat pitches, that was quality stuff. But this was New Zealand losing. This was not a good performance by New Zealand whatsoever. Quite poor. That makes for an interesting series then and there. But yeah, that was very bad from the Black Caps.
And it wasn't, it wasn't the pitches doing as well, because
That was a great pitch.
England basically handed the test match to New Zealand by making that, choice at the toss, because New Zealand pitches have been known for looking green, but then end up being flat as. And that was another case of such a pitch. And I don't know what that decision was on the first
No,
morning,
that didn't
but
surprise me. Teams always bowl first in New Zealand. That's when the movement is in the early part of the test, and then it flattens out in the second, third, fourth day. So you want to get the best batting conditions. To bottom out for 348 was a good result for England, I felt. I thought New Zealand left runs out there for sure. Williamson played well, but not enough from the others. And Brook played very well, don't get me wrong. I thought he played very nicely, but he should have been caught on 18, should have been caught on 41. And on other occasions as well, goes on, makes 170 plus. England lead by 150 and win the game. New Zealand will feel quite very disappointed, as will Sri Lanka. 42 all out.
that was fun to watch.
Even the balls they didn't get out on, they batted 13.5 overs. They tried to drive at everything and go for everything. I thought it was a performance where you just didn't have the stomach for the fight. It
No,
was extremely
that was fun
disappointing.
to watch though. That was fun to watch. Yeah, I mean,
Good
not
enough.
taking any credit away from Marco Jansen, and the way he bowled was absolutely brilliant.
It was great.
Perfectly exploited the new ball, the pitch, the lack of technique from the Sri Lankan batters was evident as well. And this sort of the New Zealand loss and the South Africa win perfectly sets up the World Test Championship.
And Jansen does deserve credit. He bowled some jaffers early on in that innings, finished up with 10 wickets. And then he just, looked, saw the Sri Lankans were not really keen on batting patiently. So just keep throwing the ball up there and they'll get themselves out later on in that innings. And that's what he did. I just want to give a shout out and credit to Themba Bavuma. He's been playing well. I mean, he cops a lot of criticism from some parts, and I believe personally it's because of what his struggles in T20 cricket the last few years when he was captain of the South Africa team 2 years ago. They had a bad World Cup campaign. He was really struggling. People were off him at that point. But in Test cricket, since the start of 2021, he's averaging 47 with the bat. No one in South African cricket is got those numbers. He's got 1,369 runs in the last 4 years at an average of 47. When you consider the conditions he typically bats in and what he's faced, that's very impressive. And he deserves respect. He deserves respect when it comes to Test cricket. And I thought he batted beautifully in this game as well, along with Tristan Stubbs, and South Africa won easily. So more of the same from them, and they'll go on and reach the World Test Championship final and have a shot at winning that
Absolutely.
title.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Nash. Thanks, everyone. We'll catch us again. Make sure to catch us for the dailies every day after the test match in Adelaide. Hopefully it's back. I don't know whether they will, but 2024 has been a funny year in Test cricket. Lots of unpredictability, so you never know. That's what it's come
I
down
like
to.
your lack
You
of
never
confidence
know.
as an Australian fan. It's very heartening to see as an Indian fan.
I don't thing is I'd like to feel confident, but it's more out of hope because we've won two of the last 11 tests at home to India. One of them was a pink ball test, so that's where the hope lies. But yeah,
Yeah.
we've got to be on it.
True, true.
We've got
All
to be on
right.
it. We need big runs and Cummins to be at his best.
Yeah.
But I look forward to it.
We'll be back on Friday for day one review of the pink ball test, and we'll be discussing all the happenings from that day. So yeah, keep listening, keep watching on YouTube, subscribe, like, and comment. Send us your questions as well when you can on Twitter and Instagram as well. And yeah, we'll try to cover all of them for the review as well. So yeah, thank you. Have a good day and have a good week.